It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harbell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harbell and Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harbell and Collins, attorneys at law in the studio with us now, Cecil Harbell and Wes Collins. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
Good to have you with us. So what are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, let's talk about a topic that we kind of have a slogan at our office about it between we lawyers and paralegals. We call it the War of the Powers of Attorney.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, we'll open up a file in our office, and I'll go talk with Wes about it, and I'll say, well, this is a War of a Power of Attorney case.
Mm-hmm.
We, of course, know between each other what that means. Now, Ben, to lay a little foundation, a little predicate for this topic, first of all, we want to hasten to say that, you know, these are the exceptions to the rule.
Right.
We talk so often on this program about the importance of a well-drafted, durable power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
So that a mother, a father, grandmother, granddad, aunt, uncle have a particular agent who has the authority, usually their son, daughter, niece, mm-hmm. nephew, usually a close member of the family, to be their agent under a power of attorney, to then register at the courthouse, deliver to the bank, and begin to pay the bills,
mm-hmm.
sign the tax return, take the appropriate actions to financially take care of their loved one.
Right.
This happens, of course, day in, day out, all the time, without any problem whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to hasten to say that the power of attorney is a very prudent thing to have, and that most of the time it operates within a family in a most upstanding way. But the exception to the rule
mm-hmm.
is that there is, in fact, a power of attorney. And then, for whatever reason, conflict evolves, usually between the siblings, you know, brother and sister,
right,
sister and sister, or niece and niece, nephew to nephew, whatever the case might be, and one person in the family is questioning the agent under the power of attorney. Well, we think that you aren't doing your job. We think that you're changing the accounts joint into your name with, you know,
mm-hmm.
mom and dad,
mm-hmm.
that you are taking actions under the power of attorney that are inappropriate.
And obviously these are after the fact.
They're after the power of attorney has been registered,
mm-hmm.
and they're acting under the power of attorney. And then someone in the family, if you will, gets an inkling, a suspicion that something is happening, and the agent under the power of attorney is deeding property to themselves, changing accounts to themselves, taking out money in some way for their own benefit. In other words, a breach of the fiduciary duty that evolves that as a result of being
mm-hmm.
the agent under a power of attorney. And so then what happens is that the person who believes that someone is not acting appropriately, they confront the principal.
Mm-hmm.
They confront their father or their uncle or their aunt, and they say, you know, well, Dad, I need to be the power of attorney. You know, John isn't doing his job. Patricia isn't doing right by you, Dad. You need to appoint me to be the power of attorney. And so the father, the elder person, is called in the middle. They're subject to influences many times. They are, they're frail.
Mm-hmm.
Wes and I see these.
They're vulnerable.
They're vulnerable. Thank
yeah.
you, Ben. That's
yeah.
a perfect word. They're vulnerable. And they want harmony,
mm-hmm.
and they more or less say, okay, well, John, if you think that's right, then let's do that. I'll let you be the power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have a second power of attorney, okay, and it gets recorded revoking the first power of attorney.
No fun.
And now, of course, here we are. The
Thanksgiving
war,
becomes
the
really
The war
fun.
Of the powers of attorney.
Yes.
So these cases, these are most definitely, as one would already know from listening to me so far, the cases that then would, of course, find their way, you know, to a lawyer's office.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some of the ways in which we handle these files.
Okay. Well, I imagine then, Wes, you get involved when the litigation starts there, too.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I'd say over the time period that I've been practicing law, I think we've probably dealt with this in the three figures. It's hundreds of
yes,
times.
Right.
I mean, it just happens a lot, Because, the way that you deal with this situation, if you're a child and you feel as though your parent is being manipulated by maybe your brother or sister or whatever, is that, you drag them off to an attorney or you prepare your own power of attorney. And that, it's not that hard to do that if you're willing to kind of manipulate someone who's vulnerable to get control of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the first questions that we ask is, is the person competent? Are they able to really make decisions for themselves? Because there's a fine line there between, someone who is incompetent and really can't make decisions for themselves, doesn't have the ability to enter contracts, doesn't have the understanding necessary to sign a power of attorney, and then someone who maybe is just, like you said, kind of frail and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a fine line between those two,
sure.
positions there. So sometimes, depending on, what side of this we're on, I mean, obviously, if we're on the side of the situation where we feel as though, number one, that the principal, meaning the person who's signing the power of attorney, is, making their decision and is able to make their decision because they do have the capacity to do so, and maybe we're on that side with regard to the child who we think is doing the right thing here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways we make that determination is we look at the history of the file as well. Has this child been the power of attorney for years before? Has this child been the go-to child?
Mm-hmm.
Or has it been the other child who is now kind of in the middle pulling against this situation? So, we look at that situation and then, obviously, sometimes
right.
in the event that we find that the person doesn't have the capacity, then we're having to go the guardianship route.
Mm.
And, filing a guardianship really brings all of these issues front and center so that, we can look at the issue as far as the person's capacity. We can do discovery and look at how the assets have maybe mm-hmm. been manipulated. Have there been transfers of assets using a power of attorney?
Let me ask you a power of attorney question here,
sure.
though. You have a power of attorney. It's already been granted and recorded.
Correct.
But someone may be operating under that. But the principal also operates too. He does something that may be contrary to what the power of attorney did.
That is a common misconception. I would go so far as to say most people
mm-hmm.
think that once I am named the power of attorney or the attorney in fact under the power of attorney, then I am the person who makes decision for mom
mm-hmm.
or for dad. And it doesn't matter what mom or dad cares. I'm the decision maker. That is not correct. The power of attorney or the attorney in fact under the power of attorney is not standing in a position where we're taking the decision-making rights away from the principal,
mm-hmm.
from mom or dad in this scenario. It's that we're supplementing them.
Right.
We're trying to carry out the decision-making and carry out what is in the best interest of mom or dad. We're not supplanting that.
Mm-hmm.
We're supplementing it. So
we're the agent for the principal.
Them. Right.
We're their agent. And the question should always be, what would they want us to do
mm-hmm.
under these circumstances? Okay. Well, yes, they would want us to pay the light bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
correct.
They would want us to pay the taxes on the property, on their home, their real estate taxes. Yes, they would want us to gather up the information and file their tax return as best we can by April the 15th. Yes, to these kinds of things. Would they ask us to deed the property
mm-hmm.
that they own, the home, to just one of their three children?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
Right.
Okay. Would they ask us to change their accounts in such a way where they are now joint with right of survivorship or payable on death to just one of the three children?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. So if you are acting as an agent under a power of attorney, one needs to be guided to ask those questions constantly. Mm-hmm. What am I doing something? Are all of my actions that I'm taking, are these the kinds of things that my father, my grandfather, my aunt, my uncle would want me to do?
Yeah. Now, for example, let me just give you an example. Say someone entrusted with a power of attorney takes a look at all the bills and the finances that they're going on with their principal and says, well, we really ought to pay off the mortgage. You don't have that much left. Why are you paying this interest? And, you know, just get it paid off. You have the assets to do that.
Yeah.
And so they do that. Right. And then the other person then says, well, wait a minute. I didn't want to do that.
Well, that would probably be a reasonable, you know, business decision. Mm-hmm. That would be okay. But I mean, what we would advise the attorney in fact to do would be to actually talk with the principal about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the thing that changes that a little bit, that kind of takes it out of the worry zone, is that, you know, if we're just paying off the mortgage, well, that's not really benefiting this particular attorney in fact.
Right. Okay.
Alone.
Yes.
Unilaterally. It's really affecting the assets of the principal, but it affects them in a way that treats everyone equally as far as the eventual beneficiaries of the estate. You know, another kind of aspect of this that we see sometimes is, you know, the power of attorney may take the position, well, I'm going to move dad to Charlotte, where I live.
Right.
And I'm the power of attorney, so that's what's happening. And we're going right now and we're leaving.
Yeah.
And dad has lived in Carteret, Craven, Pamlico, Onslow, wherever.
And dad's holding around on to his recliner. He
and wants to stay here.
Yeah.
Well, the attorney in fact doesn't have that right if that's not what dad wants to do. Now, what rights does dad have then? Revoke the power of attorney.
Right.
And here we are.
Yes.
War of the Powers of Attorney.
That's our subject today. If you'd like to join in, you can join us at 800-818-2255 or the local numbers.
247-7282 or 353-4674.
For the right advice at the right time, Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law, online at harvellandcollins.com. And you can also reach them at 726-9050. And we'll have more to come in a moment. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 at AM 1240, and with Harvell & Collins, Attorneys at Law on Let's Talk Legal. Lynn in Moorhead City with a question for the guys here. Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Good. My question is, my father's divorced and he has five children. I've been trying to push him to get a will, a legal paper, so that if he can't speak for himself health-wise, someone can make those decisions. He doesn't have anything. What happens if something happens and he's got five children and there's decisions that need to be made? What will the law do if he doesn't have any of this paperwork in place?
Well, Lynn, such a great question, and thank you. And the first thing to say is you keep pushing, please.
Yes.
Please keep pushing.
Yes.
And maybe to give you some fertile ground to talk to him about is that right now, you know, we can get him a power of attorney, you know, for less than $100. Okay. A durable power of attorney is not an expensive document. On the other hand, to answer your question, if there is no legal document and there are five children and there is then, a need to make, to do a legal transaction and he cannot do it, then we have to have him adjudicated incompetent, which is a guardianship proceeding, which involves all five children and most likely their spouses, and probably is a, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 proposition. So in other words, very, very expensive. There is a huge difference in cost, as you're now hearing, between just a well-drafted, durable power of attorney document and having to go to court with a guardianship proceeding. The guardianship proceeding also is emotionally draining. It requires that there be multiple lawyers involved, which is why the expense is what it is. And so sometimes, Lynn, with our elder parent, money talks. I'm trying to help you.
Is that, Lynn, do you think the primary reason?
No, I just feel like he's a procrastinator and he just doesn't think, you know, hey, he's not thinking about the future. Right. And I just wasn't sure if the court will say the oldest will be in charge or I don't know if the court decides all this.
No, as far as like business, money decisions, these kind of things, which I understand really doesn't have anything, then the guardianship is where we would have to go in order for there to be a decision maker. As it relates to healthcare issues, making decisions for him from a healthcare perspective, all five of the children are going to have an equal vote in that, basically. And this is setting itself up for the potential for there being a conflict among the family.
Yes.
So it's not like the oldest child, the youngest child, the favorite child, any of that.
Correct.
It's just that, you know, the medical providers here are going to be, in the event we get to this position, are going to be looking for, they're going to ask for the healthcare power of attorney. They're going to ask for the living will, you know, in the event, right, let's say he goes into the hospital. He doesn't have those. Then they're going to seek their own in-house legal counsel and their opinion with regard to what needs to happen. And I'm going to tell you what the decision-making is going to be. It's going to be based on whatever the five come up with, which we really don't want to.
And whatever set, insurance will cover.
We don't want to. Yeah. We don't want to set up the stage for there being conflict between you and your siblings.
I can promise you there will be conflict amongst five that don't get along already. And yes, there is money involved. He owns a business. He's got money put away. Not a ton, but enough that there will be some decisions that have to be made. But I'm just trying to push him, and I'm really scared because all of us right now really don't get along, and I can see this turning into a huge problem.
Well, again, let me ask you guys, if he goes ahead and makes this decision one way or another for somebody to be power of attorney and healthcare power of attorney, maybe be the same person, may not be.
Right.
At least the actions of that person are then decided on the facts afterwards, not nearly as much emotion, right? I mean,
correct. That then is a document that is something that dad signed and that now should be honored. To go a little bit further here in Lynn's question, there are preference when someone does not have a document, the statute does set forward some preferences. In other words, who's first? But it's by class, if you will, and to put those facts into the and to apply those facts to the law, all the children are in the same class. They are all equal
right. vote.
They're all equal. Mm-hmm. Now, if we had a spouse, the spouse would trump the five children. Let's say that we only had one child and then we had a grandchild. Mm-hmm. Well, the one child would trump the grandchild, okay?
Right.
Because what I'm depicting are different classes.
It's a family tree kind of thing.
Yeah, right. But when you are all five children, you are all of equal value pursuant to the statute, and the court would just simply have to choose one of the five. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this one says I should be it. The other one says, well, I think I should be it. Well, now we're at a guardianship hearing. And that's a very expensive proposition for your father and for the family.
Lynn, does your father live in this state?
No, he actually lives out of state, and two of us are out of state, and there's three that are in state. But I know this will turn into a huge problem because one thinks she has control over everything in her mind. Like, this is without any legal paper, she thinks she's going to take over if something were to happen. And I don't think she should have the right to make all those decisions when it should be all of us. So that's where I think that's where that problem's going to come in with. There's going to be this huge war. It's not going to be simple.
Again, Lynn, just keep on pushing. That's what we can say right now.
I'm working it hard.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Lynn.
Thank you. And Lynn, I'll just say, if you want a copy of that segment, we'll email it to you. You can play it for him if you like. If that would help you out, just get in touch with Mandy here, and we'll do that for you. This is Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. More on Let's Talk Legal in just a moment. Hey, welcome back here on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Well, guys, that was certainly a great example of the war of the power of attorneys.
Right. Lynn's obviously, her father's in another state. We just can't recommend strongly enough for her to, you know, find a good attorney in that area. If she wants to call our office and we can make some recommendations through, you know, our network of finding attorneys in the area, wherever he may be, spend a little bit of money with that law firm, whoever it may be, just to resolve these issues now. It's going to save a lot of heartache, a lot of emotional, you know, issues and strife within the family, and probably money later on. We see it all the time. Ounce of prevention. You know, that's really the
And several other issues. If he owns a business too, he has to have some reconciliation of that.
That's right. I mean, lots of questions about that. What kind of business? Are there other shareholders in the business? Is there a shareholder agreement? What happens to his ownership of the business when he dies? Is it valued? Is there life insurance there to cover that value, to buy out his estate? Lots of things here that we would, you know, need to ask about. So again, if Lynn wants to call our office for us to, you know, help her find a good law firm who would deal with these kind of issues, wherever her father may be, we'd be happy to help her with that because she needs to get with the right person for her father and for her family.
We also see in her question, Ben, it's coming from a little bit of a different area in terms of what Lynn is wanting is just for her father to get some documentation and to go ahead and select which one or two of the five are going to be his agent under certain documents. But underlying her question when she mentioned more facts, you know, we already see that there's potentially, as she said, one of the siblings who thinks that she should be in charge,
right,
that she's the one that should make all the decisions, you know. So she's going to be the type that if he doesn't appoint her, and he appoints brother or maybe Lynn or whoever, then she might be the very one that we're talking about that's going to challenge that document, you see. And we're into the war that the basis of the subject today for the program. So you see what we're talking about. Lynn's, underneath all of Lynn's questions, is that underlying dynamic in a family that sets forth, you know, the predicate for there to be the war of the powers of attorney.
And to let Lynn know, and any others too, you said you have pamphlets on some of these subjects too that people
pick up. Yep. We do have some handouts on estate planning and on elder law planning that could maybe assist.
Okay.
She could contact us by looking at harvellandcollins.com and emailing either Cecil Harvell or me, Wes Collins, and then we'd be happy to just scan and email that information to her. It's no problem.
Okay. All right. That's going to wrap it up for Let's Talk Legal. If you want to get in touch, you can call them at 726-9050. Again, online at harvellandcollins.com and 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City.